Donna and I both have spent more than the last three decades in ministry. I've been with the Indiana Assemblies of God for over 20 years, and I've poured into pastors for years. That's been my role in my job, just helping them be healthy and effective in the harvest.
I've been in ministry for over 30 years. I was raised in a pastor's home, and I served in the ministry with my husband for several years before we became missionaries with Convoy of Hope Europe. It was there that I also served as the children's pastor at International Christian Center in Brussels, Belgium. Later, my husband and I transitioned to the U.S. State Department Foreign Service, where we served in South Africa and in Nigeria.
6 years ago, before Donna and I even knew one another, our lives were forever changed through separate tragedies. That for me, after over 33 years of marriage and loving one another, raising a family, and constantly serving together in ministry and in life, my wife Joyce went to bed on a Friday night. She had a headache, and the next morning, I couldn't wake her up. And several hours later, as the day progressed, my daughters and I stood in the hallway of a critical care unit. We made the decision to disconnect her from life support, and I will never forget that moment. I will never forget that room. That we prayed and we trusted God, but within minutes, Joyce was in the presence of Jesus. We simply could not believe what had happened. I came back home late that evening to just an empty and devastated world.
While I was living in Lagos, Nigeria, Dave and I went with a group of people. It was a beautiful day to a small island near Lagos. Life in the city was crowded and it could be really difficult, so we were so looking forward to a day away from all of the chaos. Dave and I made our way down to the beach and I got in and waded only knee deep, but the water was rough and an unexpected wave hit me and pulled me into a series of three riptides. I couldn't get out. Dave came for me and he bought me a little bit of time, but he then became caught himself. If it wasn't for a trained sailor and a Marine who happened to be on the beach with us that day, I would have died. They came to me first and rescued me, and then they went in for Dave, but it took too long and it was too late. And my daughter and I sat on the beach and we watched him, we prayed, and we watched him die, and it was over. 30 years of marriage were just ended in a moment's time. And a few weeks later, I went back to that very spot and I scattered and I sowed Dave's ashes in the water and in the soil of Africa.
For Donna and I, after we faced the tragedies in our lives, our journeys were similar. The questioning and the confusion, the shattered remnants of a life that was just blown up and scattered. Nearly 2 years after those events, we met and God put us together, and the trajectory of our grief did not just instantly change in that moment. The pain didn't immediately go away, but we were healing.
We got married and we faced challenges of merging two lives and two families and all of the pain and the hurt that still needed to be healed. The things that had happened to us were beyond our understanding, but God, He lovingly led us through all the pain and the anger and confusion, and He gradually brought us to a place of deep trust and faith.
We could have never connected all of those dots on our own, but God has taken what He's sown into both of our lives. He called us. Ask us to leave a secure future and influential ministry and to invest our future in Africa. That which has happened to us has really served to advance the gospel of Christ.
Good morning. Good morning. First thing that I want you to know is that's not our baby. I'm only 2 years younger than him, and yeah, that's not our baby. Her name is Eloise, and she was born 1 month after my husband passed away. We have three grandchildren, six children between us, and four of them are married. We are so grateful, and we feel so very blessed. The video that I showed you that you just saw of the beach is the place where my husband passed away. It was the very spot that I went and I put his ashes in the water there. And although I was grateful to be spared from the waves and the riptides that day, I jumped back into the ocean that day, and it was an ocean of fear, it was an ocean of anger, it was an ocean of doubt. Because I didn't understand what had happened. Because, see, I prayed the most important prayer that I had ever prayed in my life. And I'm a preacher's kid. I'm a pastor's kid. And I've experienced a lot, and I've seen a lot. And God has been faithful to me through the years. And that day, for whatever reason, it didn't seem like God was paying any attention to me. And I walked away confused about what he was doing and not understanding what was going on. And I was angry. A few months later, I was holding our granddaughter who was going through a difficult time herself. She had a broken leg, and her father is an army chaplain, and they had moved a lot. And she was upset about life. She couldn't explain it, but she was upset. And I'm holding her, and she's screaming as children can do. And I'm trying to explain it to her, and I'm singing to her, and I have my arms wrapped around her, and she's just not understanding, and she won't calm down. And somehow, through the middle of all that chaos that was going on in the living room, God spoke to me and said, "Donna, this is what you're doing to me. You're screaming and crying about all the stuff that you don't understand, and I could try to explain it to you, but you're not going to get it. And you need to just rest in my arms and let me hold you. And I know you don't understand. And I know it's difficult. And I know it hurts. But I'm just going to hold you. If you will just let me hold you, you can trust me. Because he's a good father. And I believe there are people in this place today. And you may be in the same place. But I want to tell you that God is holding you today. And if you will be still and listen, he has something for you."
Yeah, amen. You know, as Pastor Wayne was talking about the healing that he witnessed this week and the miracles that God obviously does, I believe with all of my heart that God is a healing God. God is a miracle-working God. And I have seen him do incredible, miraculous things over and over and over. Been in ministry for almost 40 years, and I've seen a lot of incredible things happen. And so coming into this was a new experience for me after seeing God do all of the things that he does and then being on the end of it not quite turning out the way that you thought it should turn out. And see, here's the thing, and that is I know that not every member of this church, not every person that attends Grace Assembly has face difficulty in their lives. Not every person that attends this church has been through hard things or trials or difficulties, and I am aware of that, but all of them are in the nursery at the moment, all right? So that leaves the rest of us who have all been through stuff. We've all experienced stuff. And as we've walked through our story, there's been a lot of times that people have come up to me after a service and said, "Oh, you know, I've really been going through a difficult time, but it's not as big a deal as what you guys have been through, but it's still been kind of tough. This is not a competition." All right? And then there are times that we tell our story, and I know stories in the house that are like 10 times worse than our story. But this isn't a competition. This is about the grace of God and the way God works in each of our lives, because we've all been through stuff and we all need the grace of God and we need the help of God in situations when things don't turn out the way we think they should, because God does have a plan and God is incredibly doing something in your life. And you may be someone who is saying, "Yeah, something happened to me 40 years ago or 20 years ago, or I'm going through something right now and I'm not quite healed up from that." And we want to tell you that as Apostle Paul shares in the book of Philippians, and I'll get to that in a moment, that which has happened to me, he said, has really happened to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God is doing a good work in you and your life. And listen, I'll also go ahead and admit that some of you probably don't want to hear that right now because I've been there too. But as I walk through the process of after my wife had been gone for a couple of weeks, and see, the whole point of this message is the way God redeems stuff. The way God brings us to places that we can't believe the goodness of God and what He's done in our lives as we walk out this journey. And about a week or two into this, there were three decisions that I made that I want to encourage you with those three decisions. I know that these were put in my heart by the Holy Spirit. They came to me in such a way, there's no way I could make it up. You ever have that happen when you become aware of something and you know you're not smart enough to figure it out? And as I stood there that day, just really hurting and praying, I began to vocalize these decisions. Number one, I don't know what it's going to take, but I'm going to be whole again. I will be healthy again. And I am committing myself to do whatever is necessary for me to come back to a place of faith and wholeness and healing in my life. That was decision number one. Decision number two was, and this one was tough, folks. As I made this decision, there were tears running down my face as I was vocalizing this because I didn't want to say it. But I said, I choose to believe that good things are going to happen in my life that would not have and could not have happened had this not happened first. I chose to have hope in God that He knew what He was doing and that good stuff was going to come out of this. And listen, here is a very important point, because when you are in the middle of pain and you're just hurting, you don't really want to hear that good stuff is going to come from it. You know what I mean? Just for crying out loud, can I not just be in this pain and just say this is a bad thing and nothing good's going to come out of this? You feel that way. But it's hope in the experience of what God has done in our lives in the past and the things that we've seen God do in the lives of others that tells us that we have reason to hope and we have reason to anchor in the truth and in trusting God that the things that have happened in our life, that God's got it and He's going to continue to redeem it. And then there was a third decision, a choice that I made. And that was that this cost too much to waste. And that I was going to help other people that were walking through a similar journey. And I made a commitment to pay attention to what God was doing in my life. And I want to encourage you today that if you are walking through the middle of darkness and something really tough, this is a really uplifting talk today, huh? But if you're walking through the toughest thing that you've ever walked through in your life, get out a pen and a journal and start writing down the journey of God in your life, because I can guarantee you, you're going to be able to comfort and bless somebody else through that. And you may not care a thing about blessing anybody else in the moment, but God is going to redeem you and He is going to pour into other people's lives out of the stuff that you've been through. And so those were the three decisions. I want to go to Philippians chapter 1. I have to keep telling myself Donna is on the platform too, and she has things to say. But Philippians chapter 1, the setup here is Apostle Paul is in prison. And he is in the advanced stages of imprisonment. He is in chains for preaching the gospel of Christ. He's not in chains because he's a criminal. He's in chains because he was doing good things. And now, being in prison, his colleagues have turned against him. Many of them have. Some of them have. And he is in a hard place. And this passage of Scripture means a lot to me because, you know, as I was walking through the depth of the pain, you know, sometimes, and I want to encourage you guys in this, that sometimes your relationship with God seems like it's just out of sync when you're going through tough stuff. And one thing that I could not do is quiet time. All right, I'm thinking, you know, that's the time you run into the secret place, but I couldn't do it. I mean, I was still communing with God, but when you get quiet, just too much stuff's going on in your head, and I wasn't ready for that. So I went for about 6 weeks without really having a quiet time. And then when the new year started, I said, you know, I have got to get back into my quiet time, into the Word of God, and let God speak to me. So I sat down, I said, okay, God, new day, where should we go in Scripture? Where do you want me to start? Because everything's disrupted. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord directed me to the book of Philippians. Now, I was immediately suspicious because the book of Philippians is about joy. And I kind of give God that in my spirit, the little side glance like, okay, what are you up to here? And then I began to read it and I came to this passage of Scripture and it says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. When I came to that verse of Scripture, all of a sudden the clouds rolled away and everything was clear and everything was good. No way. When I came to that Scripture and I read, I want you to know that that which has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel of Christ. I said, oh, no. I see what you're doing, God. You're going to take something that is incredibly terrible, that there is no good reason for whatsoever. I kind of got to the place where I wanted to kind of slap somebody when they said, well, all things work together for good. Well, if you really look at that passage of Scripture, and I'm not even going to go there, don't have time, but read the rest of that chapter and it makes perfect sense that yes, God is doing something, but sometimes you don't want to hear it. You want to stay in your pain and you want to hold on to your pain because your pain comforts you. It gives you a reason. It gives you a reason to be in the center of your life. It gives you a reason to keep control of your life. But as I sat there and I said, no, this isn't about something good. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said, David, you have been in the center of this tragedy for 6 weeks. And if you are committed to being whole and being healed in your spirit and in your emotions and in your life, you've got to take yourself out of the center and you've got to put Jesus in the center of this situation. I said, you have got to be kidding me. But I realized that I had to put Jesus back in the center and allow him to begin to do a work in me. And that's where the work really began, is when I began to surrender and yield to the work of Christ in my life, to believe that God was really doing something in me. You know, I'm fired up, man.
You are fired up. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have something you'd like to say?
I do have something I'd like to say. Okay. Because the frustrating part for me was, and probably for so many of you here, is like, I did not choose what happened to me. Sometimes we make choices that get ourselves in trouble, and yes, I did step into the water. I wasn't planning on swimming. I was only knee deep. It pulled me out. I did not choose this. And I would have people come to me and say, oh, wow, you are so brave. You're so courageous, what you've been through. I'm like, no, I'm not. I am not brave. I am not courageous. I have two choices. I can lay down and die, or I can continue. I had no other choice. Do you ever find yourself that way? It's like, I am not brave. I wanted to be the one that died and let my husband have to deal with all this stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Seriously. And it's like, don't call me brave. But I did have a choice on how I would respond to the stuff that had happened to me. And I decided that I would have to get better. I had children. I had grandchildren. I had a life ahead of me and I had to choose health. But I decided that I would do it by myself. The day that I was in the ocean, the rescuer came for me, and I decided that I knew better than he did. I was a strong swimmer, better than my husband. I wanted him to go for him. He said he was almost ready to hit me because I wouldn't stop fighting him. And finally, I submitted to what he wanted, and I argued with him later. I said, why did you come for me first? I would have been fine. He said, you would not have been. You would have drowned, Donna. The riptides were too strong. There were three of them. I was upset. And now I'm back in the States, and I'm trying to figure out life again, and I'm upset. I'm like, God, I don't understand. And he says to me, Donna, you're not going to get out of this one alone. You want to rely on yourself. You're not going to get out of this one alone. You're going to have to rely on me if you want to get out of this riptide that you've got yourself in. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we don't want you to be uninformed about the troubles we experienced. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises from the dead. He has delivered us from deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. I asked God, I said, God, what difference does prayer make anyway? If you're going to just do whatever you want to do. I'm being very real. If I pray and ask you to do something and you just do what you want to do, what does it matter? And he said, oh, Donna, you act like you have no hope. We have hope. We have hope. You have hope. And if you feel like you're in a place right now where God doesn't seem to be coming through for you, oh my goodness, you have hope. On him we have set our hope, David.
Yeah. That which has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, and that is choosing the wholeness and choosing the health. I was reading this Philippians chapter 1 in the Message. And in the Message, the part where Paul's colleagues or those who were preaching the gospel that took advantage of Paul's situation and decided that they would step in as leaders and take Paul's following as they were preaching the gospel. And it was a very hurtful thing for Paul. But he said, you know what? They're preaching Christ anyway. So I'm going to celebrate the fact that Christ is being preached, even though they're spiting me in this. At least Jesus is being preached. And so it's the attitude to look at the things that are positive, but it's not just positive thinking, but it's looking at the reality. And in the Message, here's what Paul continues to say about this. He says, and I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. And see, there's a key to wholeness and health in our lives, that when we're going through tough stuff is we know how this is going to turn out. And we can even begin to celebrate what God is doing in our lives in a strange sort of way. And you say, how do we know how this is going to turn out? It's by faith. It's trusting God. It's all of the things that I've seen before. It's walking not by sight, but walking by faith in the revelation of who God is. See, this is real stuff. My faith is stronger and deeper than it's ever been, having walked through the pain, than it was when I had not walked through the depths of pain. Because God has had the opportunity to reveal himself in us. We kind of make a pair here. Having been through some of these things, we talk a lot about things. There's been times, folks, that we've been paired with dear friends. We would do Sunday morning, they would do Sunday night. We would preach about what happens when God doesn't heal, and then there are folks that have been healed many times, and they would preach about what happens when God does heal. And there have been times that I said, God, I want that story and not this one. I always wanted to be the one that preached about, oh, God will heal, instead of the one who's saying, but when he doesn't. Because the church doesn't want to embrace the fact that anything bad can ever go wrong to us, that we can ever walk through difficulty. In fact, I have learned that many in the church suffer in silence because they know that others will judge them and say, it's because you weren't living right. I was reminded in between services talking with someone, that this is a very real thing in your life. See, we tend to blame ourselves for things that happen in our lives. And for months, I would get up out of bed and I would go into the bathroom and I would look in the mirror and I would say, David, you are such an idiot. Man of God, man of faith. You lay your hands upon people and pray for their healing. And you have no faith and you're not a man of God. And if you'd been more of a man of God, your wife would have raised up from her deathbed and you wouldn't be walking this path and neither would your family. See, the devil will lie to you to destroy the purposes of God in your life. And I want to tell you that there are some things that you may never understand because it surpasses and it goes beyond your understanding. But Paul celebrates because he knows it's going to be okay. And that was the decision that I made in the midst of my pain is I choose hope. I choose to believe that God is not finished. I choose to believe that God is going to continue to unfold his purpose in my life. And I will continue on some level to celebrate that. Paul goes on to say, through your faithful prayers and generous response of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything he wants to do in and through me will be done. That's hope, folks. That is the hope. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least, he says. And Psalm 25 says, in that moment when you feel like there is some deficiency in you, that you feel like that you are being put to shame because it seems like everybody else's life is more together and better than yours. First of all, it's not. But secondly, Psalm 25 says, those who put their trust in him will not be put to shame. And that's what Paul is saying here. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. And he says, on the contrary, everything happening to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known, regardless of whether I live or die. I'm learning something as a missionary. I am learning the heart of God for the lost in a way that I've never known it before. The desire in the heart of God to reveal his glory to the nations. It is incredible. It is incredible. And as I walk in that and see that I can see the greater purposes that God's been doing in our lives to bring glory to him. And you know what? It strengthens us and it empowers us as well. So we've got that which has happened to me and we're going to be healed. Has really served to advance the gospel of Christ. There's the hope. And then the Apostle Paul says, I don't think I ever finished reading that verse of scripture, did I? He says, and as a result, all the guards know that I'm in prison for preaching Christ. As a result is the purpose that God is going to fulfill in our lives. And we have this hope. And there's this prayer, or this quote by Timothy Keller. We've had a lot of interesting conversations. It's like, well, should we pray and ask God to heal this situation? Well, I don't know. I don't know if he will. You know?
Well, it's just that, you know, you think, okay, the most important prayer that I ever prayed, and it's like, well, you know, my toe hurts. That doesn't seem nearly as important.
Yeah, there's been a rebuilding of our faith. And one of the things that's helped me is Timothy Keller quote that I came across. Okay, listen, get this. The prayer I want God to answer is the prayer he knows I would have prayed if I knew everything that he knows. Wow. See, that's the reality of God's work in our lives. The prayer that I want God to answer. I have come to the point where I don't want God to answer every prayer that just pops out of my head. I want my praying to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be praying according to the will of God. Not just saying, God, would you do this? God, would you do that? Because I might really mess up some serious stuff. And even in the big things, I might mess up some serious stuff. So I want to submit and surrender, to pray by faith, to pray with confidence, and to believe God that the prayer I want Him to answer is the prayer that He knows I would have prayed if I knew everything that He knows. Y'all remember Job, the book of Job? Some of you may have never heard of it, but it's a book in the Old Testament. And the story is that Satan goes before God, and he says to him, you got this servant Job that loves you so much and serves you so well, but if bad stuff happened to him, he'd drop you like a hotcake. God says, no, I don't believe that. And Satan says, then remove some of your protection and let's see. And God says, all right, but you're not going to kill him. Okay, deal. Kind of weird, isn't it? It's in there, the book of Job. So then all of this terrible stuff happens in Job's life. And he doesn't curse God and die, though I think he thinks about it, but he doesn't. He holds true. He holds steadfast. And in the end, he receives like double of everything that he had. And sometimes that's a small consolation. But he endured and he didn't let go of God and he continued on. But here's the key to the book of Job, folks, right here. Job didn't know about the conversation. Think about that. Okay, God, what's the plan? Okay, we'll endure and then you'll bless me later. No, we don't know about those conversations, which means we don't always know what's going on in our lives. But folks, we came here to tell you today that from our perspective, God is true. And He is faithful, and He will do an incredible work through what has happened in your life. And He will do an incredible, incredible work through you.
You see, the most important prayer that I really ever prayed was, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. But we don't want that suffering part. I don't want that suffering part. But so often, that suffering is so that we might rely on Him and not rely on ourselves. Last night, I'm laying in bed. I've had problems with my back and my hip. It's been bothering me for a good year or two, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. It seems to be getting worse. I'm like, God, what's up with this? You know, I need you to heal my back. And David, remember the conversation that we had before we made the decision whether or not we were going to Africa? It all centered kind of around my back.
Yeah, we began to understand that we're going to go to Africa and do what we've been doing here for 30 years, basically, is the call that God has placed upon our lives. And you know, it's beyond what I could even think or imagine. I might tell you a little bit about it in a second. But see, I prayed when God was calling us and He was dealing with our hearts about submitting to this call and going to Africa to help the leaders there, raise up leaders, and a lot of other things. But I said, God, tell you what, we'll go to Africa if a couple things I mentioned, if you'll heal Donna's hip and back. I mean, we can't be traipsing around Africa. We're going to be doing some stuff that covers the whole continent. We can't be traipsing around the continent of Africa with her hip hurting. So God will go if you'll heal her. Anybody ever try to bargain with God? I had once before when I was kneeling on the floor in a hospital room saying, God, if you'll heal her, and the Spirit of the Lord stopped me mid-sentence and said, you'll what? I've already given everything to God. I have no bargaining ability here. I have to trust Him. And so in this, I said, we'll go if God will heal. It wasn't an ultimatum. It was a request, all right? And it doesn't happen. And so we were sitting on my sister's patio, and just Don and I, and we were talking. And I said, you know, a relationship is kind of two ways. And I've just kind of had it. I'm just tired. A relationship goes two ways. I give something, the other person gives something. I give something, the other person gives something. You know, it's kind of reciprocal. There's reciprocation in a relationship. You know what I mean? And it seems like with God, we just give and we... See, it's okay to get angry. And it's okay to tell God about it. He's big enough to handle it, okay? And then we receive what he says back. But I'm saying we give and we give and we give, and he doesn't give anything back. And I'm just kind of getting tired of it. And I'm thinking I'm not going to go to Africa. There you go, God. The hope of an entire continent destroyed. And Donna said something to me that really changed my life. She said, "You're right, David. It is a relationship. And God's already given everything. And now it's our turn." Folks, if you know Jesus, if you know Jesus, there ain't no mountain high enough, no valley low enough. There's no pain great enough or suffering too difficult to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ. And believe me, I'm not saying this lightly. We sat in the hotel room in Springfield, Missouri. We were out there last October being interviewed to be world missionaries. And I was praying one morning in the chair in the hotel room, and all of a sudden I got it, and I looked over at her and I said, "I get it." Because Donna and I both, when we were kids, prayed, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, and so somehow to be like him, to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ." Donna had shared with me that she'd prayed that prayer throughout her life. "I want to know Christ." And the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to my heart and said, "David, I'm going to unfold just a little bit here, and I'm going to tell you that that afternoon when you knelt in that hospital room and you prayed for your wife to be healed, there were two prayers on the table that afternoon. There was the prayer that you had prayed your whole life, saying, 'I want to know Christ.' And then there was the other prayer that said, 'God, please heal my wife.'" And see, here's the thing you got to know. When you hold it in perspective, she is doing great. It's us that hurt, see? And I felt like God was saying to me in a way I still don't understand, "David, I answered the prayer that I know that you would have wanted me to answer if you knew everything that I knew. And you're going to know me in a way that you've never known me before because of this journey and the journey that we're going to take you on in Africa. See, I want to know Jesus, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to know him." If the team wants to come, I'm going to work toward a close here. And that's the as a result part. You see, that which has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And as a result what? What do you think God wants to do in your life? You probably don't even know. We wouldn't be going to Africa. This is like fill in the blank. What's God called you to? Folks, I'm 59 years old. I had a really good job. I had like, part of my job was like my dream job. Didn't want to ever do anything else. All I had to do was coast. People loved me enough. But God didn't call us to coast. And at 59, to be able to say yes to whatever it is that God is asking was what I hoped for my whole life. Would I have the courage? We have the courage because he has done a work of trust and hope in us. That if God can take us through that stuff, he can take us through anything. And we're going to go to Africa. We're going to be on Urban Tribes team, and we're going to see churches planted in the largest cities of Africa, where people are coming from all over the world and from all of the nations of Africa. They're coming into these cities. And we need to plant churches in those cities, and we're going to go and we're going to know Jesus in a way that we've never known him before. As we worship with God's people on that continent, and as we see people come to Christ, we're going to work with our national superintendents, the different nations, help them equip their pastors. And as a mom and dad, we're going to pour into our leadership team across that entire continent. I can't believe that they're letting us do this. I can't believe that this is how I get to spend our next years. Can't believe it. But those things come when we trust God. And what I ask you is, what's God doing in your life? What's he calling you to? And there's three things I want to challenge you in. Number one is, do you know Jesus? He's incredible. He is incredible. And I know that there are some in this room, they're saying, yeah, but you don't know what's happened, and God didn't come through. Or tried that and I gave up. Now, Jesus is incredible. And as you submit your life to him and you dare to trust him, he will bring a transformation in you that will be astounding. If you know Jesus, he has a great journey for you. And I'm passionate about it. The second thing I want to challenge you in is healing. Some need to be healed in the presence of Christ. Because you're only halfway through your story, see? And we've been there. And when you're only halfway through your story, you need God to help you. You need healing. You need a miracle to take place in your life. And the third thing I want to challenge you with is, God's calling some of you to go. If you want to go to Africa, you can talk to me and I will hook you up to the right person, all right? But for some of you, it's across the street or across the town or it's somewhere else. But God is going to fulfill his purposes in your life because he is always faithful. And today is the day that you answer his call to believe God and to follow him. Folks, I want to pray over you. Could we all just stand together? This house. As we stand in the presence of the Lord, the first question I want to ask you is, do you know Jesus? And do you want to surrender your life to Christ this very day? And I would just ask you, so we would know how to pray, that if today is the day that you surrender your life to Christ and to say, no matter what, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to follow you, and let's see where this goes. And I want you to just raise your hand and say, I want you to pray for me today because God bless you, man. Anybody else? I want to surrender to Christ. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? I want to surrender to Christ today. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Pray over you. Believe God with you. But I want to ask another question. How many of you need healing today? You need God to do a work of healing in your life. Some of you it's because of stuff that's happened. Some of you it's other stuff, but you need healing. You're walking in the middle of it. I see many, many hands. You're walking in the middle of it. And you need healing to get to the as a result. You need healing to get to the other side. I believe God's going to do a work in you today. I see hands up and I see faces that are intent on the presence of God right now in this moment. God is moving in your life and he is going to begin and he is going to do a transformational work in you. And then finally, before we pray, I want to ask you, is God calling you? Is God calling you? Are you on the other side of it or moving to the other side of it? And the purposes of God are unfolding in your life and you just want to say yes to God's will and way and whatever He would call you into. Some of you know exactly what it is and you just want to say again, God, I say yes to you. I say yes to you. Just slip a hand up. I see some hands. God has spoken to you. You're saying yes to Him today or yes again to Him today. But yes, this cost too much to waste. And before I pray, I want to tell you something. It's not only the bad stuff that's happened in your life, but it's the investment that God has made in you throughout your life. God has put good stuff in you, and He is going to bring transformation to this world out of the stuff He's invested in your life. Do you believe it? Come on, some of you are saying, not me. I'm saying, yes, you. Yes, you. God is going to take what He's invested in your life, and He's going to bring transformation to the world, because that's what God does. Amen. I'm going to pray over you. Pastor Wayne's going to come. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Father, in the name of Jesus, just ask you, Lord, that you would begin to work and move in everyone's life. God, reveal yourself. Pray for those, Lord, that are coming to you right now, for those that are experiencing healing, and those who are saying yes to you afresh and anew. Father, in the name of Jesus, do a work in us. Do a work in us, Lord.
Feel the spirit of hope in the room today, a spirit of hope. The enemy wants to bring despair, hopelessness, discouragement. Discouragement is probably his greatest tool. But here God brings this wonderful story of hope. And I just believe that in this room that there are many people, many of you raised your hands for healing or for some other reason. We want to pray for you. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask those of you that raise your hands, say, hey, I need healing or I need hope. And I want you to come and we're just going to fill these altars. You can stand if you want to stand. You can kneel if you want to kneel. But others are going to come and they're going to pray for you and pray with you today. I just believe that God wants to do something. He wants us to take a step for us to receive healing. I don't want you to leave today and say, well, that was a great inspirational message. I want you to leave different today. So the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. I want you to be ready to move. Now, I do want to receive an offering for this wonderful couple. Their budget is about $30,000. Okay? So we want to help them get to Africa. And so on your way out, our ushers are going to be at the exits. And before you leave the building today, would you drop an offering there and just a way to say thank you for David and Donna and just invest in them in the future. If you're making a check, make it to Grace Assembly, Market, Delp, or Kingdom Builders, and it'll get to them, okay? If you're giving electronically, do the same thing. Do guest speaker or Kingdom Builders, and we'll make sure this offering right here is going to get to them, okay? And I like to ask everybody to give something, even if all you're giving is a dollar or whatever. Some of you, God can do so much more through that. But as you leave today, make sure that you give. And we're going to sing this chorus, this very simple song, It's Not Over. We want to pray for you and with you. And as we sing this chorus, if you raised your hand for any of those things, for salvation, I need healing, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you say, this message was for me. God brought them here today for me. I need hope. I mean, the devil is discouraging. There's this, there's that. We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you today. Now, we're not going to have a formal dismissal. I'm not going to come back and give the blessing that I normally do, because I just want to give God time, as much time as you want, as much time as God needs to heal your heart, heal your spirit. So if the Lord is speaking to you in any way, or if you raised your hand just a moment ago as we sing this, I want you to come. Some are coming right now. Amen. Just go ahead and come. Amen. Just step out of your seat and come.